Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Now to begin, we're going to be saying the Lord's Prayer. So I invite you to please say it with me. Matthew 6. In this manner, therefore pray. Let's go, everyone. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beautiful. Next, we have Psalm 27. Now, this is one of my favorites, so excuse me if I get a bit. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Join in, everyone. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, and be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
Lord, we wait upon you today. We wait upon all that you have for us. God, I pray that you would speak to us. Speak to us, bring your word directly to our hearts, activate your people today, whether we're watching online, we're here live in this venue. We pray, God, that you would take your rightful place on the throne of our hearts and of this church. Lord, we do declare that yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The title of our message, as we're going through this series on the Lord's Prayer, I believe we're in week 7 or 8. I lose count. How many of you realized the other day, oh, we're in October already? Like, it's one of those years, right? You don't know how long it's been. I think it feels like 25 years ago we were celebrating New Year's Day. It's been one of those years. But I'm thankful that he's on the throne, ruling in his kingdom. But we're going through the Lord's Prayer, because I really believe that encapsulated within this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, we find a lot of the expository nature of what God wants to reveal throughout all of Scripture. Actually, the whole purpose behind Scripture can be unraveled in this prayer. But I wanted to look at, just recap what we talked about last week and then kind of set us up for this week. Last week, we touched on the passage that talked about lead us not into temptation. You remember this part? Temptation, talking about help me, God, with the evil that's inside me. How many of you know we are intrinsically fallen, right? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we have this intrinsic nature within us towards sin. But it's by the grace of God that we're able to overcome sin. Right, how many of you are thankful for the grace of God in your life this morning? Yeah, is anybody thankful online? Anybody here thankful to God? You can take a couple of seconds right now just to praise him and thank him for his grace. Come on, everybody. Thank you for your grace towards us. We'll get you going. I mean, that sounded like we were at the opera. We'll get you going. We need to walk in that thankfulness. I think that's what's key to us living this victorious life. So lead us not into temptation, you know, the parts of our flesh and the desires of our heart that pull us away from that centeredness on God. We'll talk about that centeredness in just a moment. And then deliver us from evil. We're talking about when we're assaulted from the outside. Lord, please help me. And what we find ourselves in during this time is this pandemic, which has brought about economic uncertainty. I highlighted this last week, right? When we think about the beginning of the year, we started the year off in the middle of bushfires. How many of you remember we had bushfires at the beginning of the year? That's how long it's been, right? It feels like years ago, but that was just at the beginning of this year. We had bushfires sweeping down the eastern states of our country. And then just as it looked like things were getting under control, then COVID-19 happens globally. And then because of COVID-19, the obvious health repercussions and all of us having, you know, even having to do service the way we're doing it now and online, there were obviously economic repercussions. And some of us in this church have experienced that. I'm here to just encourage you. Look, I know that those repercussions are real, but we live in one of the most blessed states in this blessed nation of Australia, which is one of the most blessed nations in terms of the place to walk through COVID-19 in the world. And we need to understand that we're blessed for a reason. There's a stirring that God has resourced us for a reason. We're still on mission during this time. And so amidst the economic uncertainty, another layer of the unearthing of racial and social injustice came to the surface. And so what's interesting, and I highlighted it earlier in our conference, that the church, the body of Christ, not just our church, Every Nation Brisbane, but the body of Christ were forced out of the four walls of their meeting. And more audibly than ever, the cries of a society were looking for hope. And unfortunately, a lot of what we've seen in the Western body of Christ is a craving towards going back within the four walls of the church and ghettoizing our gospel rather than taking this gospel out as a solution to racial and social injustice, as declaring that God is the healer and more powerful than COVID-19, as the God that is the source and the one who is our daily bread. Are you with me? Like, we need to take this gospel out. Everything that this world is looking for can be found in Jesus, but yet we crave to stay within the safety of our four walls in comfort. I'm not denying the fact that Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not forsake fellowship and the coming together of the brothers and sisters until the day of his coming. So us gathering here and you gathering with us online, I want to encourage you to, you know, like to fight for fellowship. This is really important. But the whole point of this gathering is to scatter and to continue to make disciples and continue to reach out and transform this city. I got half an amen on that, Bianca. Like, this is the reason why God has you and saves you and delivers you. He doesn't just save you so that you can just make it in. A lot of us just want to make it in after this life. Eternal life starts now. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's not, I'll just wait. You know, Jesus didn't teach us to say, you know, just make it through so that you can make it in. He said, no, your kingdom come. You're the king now. And so when this part of the prayer is prayed, we need to understand that when we're assaulted from the outside, Lord, help me to have the fortitude to be able to stand up and know and declare that you are God. And that's not even counting a lot of our personal circumstances. I know that so many of us, so many even within our church, are going through a lot of hard times, sicknesses, the passing of loved ones. I mean, I would be amiss to not deny that those are real things. Those are real situations where the enemy can actually get a hold of our heart and begin to allow us to question, did God really say? Ever since the garden, that's always been the enemy's ploy. Do you recognize that the enemy's always been at work? That this COVID-19 is not the first pandemic that's hit the globe. But we immediately think, oh, no, I need to stand at the rapture bus stop and wait for the bus to come in because, you know, God's going to take me now. No, God says, you know, he promises that the end will only come after this gospel has been preached into every nation. And then the end will come. We got a lot of work to do, brothers and sisters. I loved how Pastor Jim LaFoon put it in our conference. He said, there is a name greater than COVID. There is a name greater than economic disaster. What the enemy means for evil, God means for good. God is actually utilizing COVID-19 to bring to the surface some of the ugliness in our character in order that we may bring it to the Lord and be more sanctified in Him. And I'm not saying that COVID-19 is a blessing, but there's definitely blessings if you can see what God is doing and how He's allowed for us to go through this time. There's actually things that God begins to unearth, just like He did with Job. He said, you know what, to the enemy, you know what, you go, have at it, because I know my son's going to come out better on the other side. How many of you know that God's still at work despite COVID-19? He's still at work despite whatever your situation is that you're walking through, but you've got to acknowledge His is the kingdom, His is the power, and His is the glory forever, not just on Sunday, but on Tuesday. The reason why I say Tuesday is Monday, you know, it's kind of like you live with the kind of the fumes of Sunday. And then Tuesday happens, right? Or whenever the day is before your payday. Is it easier to say at that point, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen. See, the whole point of prayer, we've got to remember this, the whole point of prayer is to make Jesus central, the center of our lives, that everything orbits and revolves around Him. So when we talk about a kingdom, we must acknowledge that there is a king. How do we start the prayer? Everybody remember? How do you start the Lord's Prayer? Our Father. So imagine this, okay? I need you to understand this. I need you to capture this. Catch this, guys. The king of the universe is Daddy. The one who flung the stars, according to Psalm 8, He flings the stars out of His hand like, whoosh, that's Daddy. Turn to somebody and tell them, that's your Daddy. Turn to somebody else and tell them, who's your Daddy? Your Daddy is the king of the universe. I remember being in primary school. For those of you who grew up in more U.S.-influenced places, that's called elementary school. In primary school, right, when growing up in primary school, being on the playground, oh, my daddy's a cop. Mom, my daddy can beat your daddy. I don't care if you don't have a biological father. Your daddy is the king of the universe. And so when we contemplate and actually take time to think about that, that the king of the universe is your father, nothing's impossible. Absolutely nothing's impossible. And that's why Jesus teaches them not to pray our king, not to pray our creator, not to pray our distant, amazing, awesome God. He teaches them to pray our daddy, our Abba, our Papa. Not even like for the Filipinos in here, not even our Tito, not even uncle, he's daddy, right? He's not Lolo, he's not your grandfather, he's gonna, but he's your daddy, he's your papa, he's how Lotama o Ililangi in Psalm 1, right? Like, he's your daddy. And even for people in here or watching online that haven't experienced the love of the Father, the entry point to this prayer and any prayer is relationship with the Father. Your Father's the king of the universe. He's not just the one who rules the universe, He created it with words. And His words hold weight. So when He says, when this part of the prayer is added, and let me just add, right, like some of you may be looking at different versions of the Bible and may have noticed that this part of the prayer is not there. How many of you have noticed that? Or maybe you grew up in a church that often quoted the Lord's Prayer and did not quote that part, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. How many of you grew up? I know in the Catholic Church, right, when you're there in Mass, I know often you don't pray that part of the prayer. And the reason why is in the older Greek scripts, this part of the prayer was not included. Does that deem it blasphemous or adding extra? Not necessarily, because it's not, number one, it's not theologically incorrect. But it was added around the second or third century, I believe, around the councils. And the reason why, when they began to translate it into Latin in the Vulgate The reason why was because they needed a point of declaration during the heaviest times of persecution to understand that this whole prayer is sandwiched between declaring that his kingdom is still coming. Can you imagine your cousin who's a Christian is thrown to the lions? He needs a statement in his prayer to believe that God's still on the throne. And so that's why this part of the prayer became a part of the declaration. And when it was added to the Latin Vulgate, it was already being said by that time. So it's not that it's, you know, extraneous in terms of the biblical interpretation. That's why you find it in the New King James and the King James Version, but you don't necessarily find it in different other versions. You might find it as a footnote in your version, but that doesn't deem it as blasphemous or extraneous. It's actually a powerful statement. I think of it, because I'm hungry right now, any of you hungry right now, as a kingdom sandwich. It starts with Daddy being the king, and it ends with the declaration of his kingship. I love that. Kingdom burger. Sounds like a good Tongan burger. Kingdom of Tongan burger. Anyway, kingdom, he rules, okay? Yours is the kingdom. So when we declare yours is the kingdom, that means he rules our lives. So you can't be religious with this prayer. It can't be like, oh, yours is the kingdom. It has to be something that's stated. If we're stating that his is the kingdom, that means that we're under his rulership. And we'll get into what that means and what that looks like in just a moment. Yours is the power. So not only does he rule, but he rules with ultimate power. The theological term is he's omnipotent, means he holds all power. Is there anything too hard for your God? But is there anything too hard for your God? There's absolutely nothing too hard for your God. Do you think that the God that could just say a word and stars and galaxies are formed can't take care of whatever your hardest issue is right now? Think about your hardest issue right now, okay? You were probably thinking about it before you walked in the door. I don't have an issue. Some of you are like, I don't have an issue. I have a spouse. Okay, we can pray. Because his is the kingdom and the power. He rules powerfully. Whatever your issues are, maybe it's a financial issue. Now, you don't need to put your hands up, but I'm believing today, okay? I prophesy this specifically for those of you who are watching online and those of you who are here. I was praying for this moment, okay, that there is a miracle coming with regards to financial provision for those of you who are facing financial circumstances that are dire and really need breakthrough. Secondly, I really believe that God is also calling us to be a generous people, that as he speaks to us on behalf of others and says, okay, I need you to give money to this person, you need to be activated because his is the kingdom and his is the power, God's power working through you in your generosity. If you're in this place, remember, understand, Queensland, right? We haven't had cases for a while now of COVID-19. Praise God for that. But there's a blessing. Some of your relatives or some of your friends or some of the people that God's leading you to build with haven't received income, lost their jobs, lost all sorts of income. But how will they see that God is their source if the people that already know that he's their source aren't showing him off in our generosity? Let him speak to us today. At Every Nation Brisbane, we want to be a generous church. Not a kuripot church, diba? For the Filipinos in here, or in the Samoans, an Ai'u church, or a stingy church. God moves powerfully. God moves powerfully. Church, be activated in this time. If there was ever a need for us to pray for the sick and see them healed, it's now. If God rules, let him rule through you. If God leads you to pray for somebody and he's saying, look, I want you to believe for their healing, then step out and pray for them. Because it's not on you, it's on your king moving powerfully. Then thirdly, his is the glory. His kingship holds weight, right? We can criticize rulers, prime ministers and presidents and emperors that are alive in today's generation, finding that their words don't hold weight. Even in our own nation of Australia, there's a lot of vocality towards the battle between different parties. You said this, the whole battle between health versus economy. Open the borders, don't open the borders. And there's all this argument, and you wonder whose words are really holding weight. Let me tell you something, Jesus' words always hold weight. It doesn't matter who's in power in whatever nation, in whatever nation of your birth or where you grow up in. It doesn't matter who's in charge. God supersedes that. And his words hold weight because his word is true. Every single one of his words is true. Have you ever listened to somebody like a leader and they're talking and then they say words and you're like, I don't know if that that word really holds weight. I often jokingly talk about it like, you know, for those of you who have seen that movie, Forrest Gump, right? That Christian movie, I'm just kidding. It's not. Jenny. But you remember at the beginning and the end of the movie, it features a feather. And it's floating. It's all CGI. Sorry to ruin it. And there is no Santa Claus, by the way. And it's just floating in the air. And I often think about leaders whose words have no weight. Like they say they're going to be there and da, 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 da. Like whatever they say, they make promises and da, 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 da. How many of you know that there is no da, 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 when it comes to Jesus? Like every single one of his words holds weight. When you look at the Hebrew word for glory, it's Shekinah, which literally means the weightiness of the Lord. His kingship and his glory holds weight. So what about then where his kingship is not yet seen? Like we in this building, as believers in Christ, and if you're watching this or if you're here today and you're not yet a follower of Christ, this is what his kingdom looks like. And this is what we are called to export into our city. His kingdom, his power, his glory. So what does it look like when his kingship is not seen? Earlier this week, a band by the name of Lani, any of you heard of Lani? It's an acronym for LA New York, LANY, right? They released their new album. And on their new album, I was taken aback because I saw on the track list, they had this song called I Still Talk to Jesus. And so obviously being a Christian, I went, okay, I'm jumping to that track. And I was listening to it, and I just remember as I was sitting there hearing it earlier this week, thinking, this is literally the cry of people who have been around church before. They know that Jesus is real, but they're trapped in a lifestyle. Oh, can we play this video? And I want you to listen to the lyrics. I've got the lyrics on the video as it goes. I'll just play one verse here, just so you can get an idea.
If there's a heaven, I hope that I get in, but I probably won't. I break all the rules, do all the things the Bible says don't. I don't change my ways, I don't change my shirt. I go from the club straight to the church. It's the same prayer, it's the same hurt. Maybe I drink too much, fall in and out of love. There's been a couple times I've done a couple lines. I lie to my mama, smoke marijuana. Most of the time I do what I wanna. You might not believe it, I still talk to Jesus.
Isn't that the cry of so many? When I was listening to this song, that's just the first verse. I'll chuck the lyrics up behind me. You can see them. That's the cry of so many of my friends that have been around church before, slipped back into old lifestyles. But because we're not mobilized to take his kingdom out, this is the cry. They're still talking to Jesus, but where is the body of Christ? Where are we? If his is the kingdom and the power and the glory, why would Lani, one of the most influential bands currently in the pop world, write these sorts of songs when, where is the body of Christ? Like, I just, my heart was grieved. I remember telling one of my musician friends who's also a fan of this group, just like, this song is a kick in the pants of the church. Like, we need to be the ones that introduce them to the power of Christ and his salvation, the power of his love for them that sets them free from these patterns. It's more than, catch this everybody, it's more than just behavioral change, because you'll notice that a lot of what's mentioned is behavioral. I lie to my mom, I smoke weed, I do a couple of lines. I still do that stuff, but I still talk to Jesus because I know he's real. It's just I don't know how to overcome this stuff. If we are walking in his power, and not judgmentalism, but his power, we should be the ones that actually take his kingdom, his power, and his glory to people who sing these songs around us as their cry. This was a real conviction to me when I heard this literally 4 days ago. And I was like, man, I need to share this with my family, because this is the heart's cry of so many people here in Brisbane. And rather than judging people because they're not around anymore, toasting them to absent friends, like, what are we going to do? If God would never give up on us, why have we given up on his kingdom and his power and his glory being extended to them? Because we were once then. I mean, obviously not all of it, but when I heard about going through the lyrics of this song, I can definitely testify that I was one of those ones who didn't change my shirt going from the club to the church. You know, for those of you who remember Cool Water and spraying jazz by Yves Saint Laurent, and you walk in smelling all kinds of 90s funky, but you walk into church like nothing happened. At least you fooled yourself, but your mom's looking at you like, I'm praying for you, son. My knees hurt. See, because when we understand prayer is not just talking to him religiously, but understanding that it's more than talking to Jesus. It's centering our lives on him, because we can't stop those things on our own. We need his grace out of relationship to be able to break free from addiction. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See, because prayer is not about just talking to Jesus. Prayer focuses our orbit around Jesus. Everything, like Israel wrote, everything revolves around him. So yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever, forever. Some people say, oh, it's easy to praise him when things go well. Actually, it's not. Because when things go well, we can have a tendency to give our attention to the blessing rather than the blesser. Is his kingdom ruling in your life every day, at every moment that you find yourself under the weightiness of this life? I thank God that this pandemic has been a wake-up call for all of us who have been in a slumber of comfort. Now let's look at this prayer one more time. Next week, we're going to talk about forgiveness. That's going to take it even deeper, right? Oh, yeah, we're going to go there. But, like, look at this prayer, the way it's beautifully orchestrated by Jesus. The statements of his word. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed, reverenced be your name. Adoration. It starts from a place of adoration. Look, I want you to take this note. When you pray, start from a place of adoration. Spend time, okay? If your prayer is a minute long, spend the first 20 seconds adoring Jesus before you get into the stuff, right? The key to it is adoration. It all flows out of adoration. Our response to our adoration is surrender, right? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then petition, that's where the petition comes. You go through adoration, then surrender, and then you petition God for your needs. And remember, he knows your needs even before you ask. So you say, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, you are my daily bread. So I trust that you are going to take care of every part of my provision. And then moving into confession, which we'll talk about next week. And then submission, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now I'm going to break down Psalm 27 as we kind of wind this thing down towards the close. Psalm 27 is by the psalmist. Right, obviously, David, who's the great, 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 great grandfather of Jesus himself, right? And so, what I want you to note is a lot of the language that he's using here is exposing what Jesus is later declaring as his kingdom. When Jesus is truly the king of your life and of your heart, this is a lot of what you can experience under his kingship. So as I break this scripture down, I want you to let these words captivate your heart and understand that this is what is available to you as a follower under the rulership of Jesus, who is our King. Are you ready for this? First verse, the Lord is my light. Let's just stop there for a second. Pastor Steve Murrell said, you know, like Jesus offered it. Oh, no, it was Pastor Brett Fuller, right? Jesus is sometimes, you know, when you're in the party, for those of you who have grown up in you have a before Christ story, right? You've been in parties where it's not so good. And, before you know it, it's like 2 a.m. in the party and people are doing whatever they're doing. And then there's always that one person that bumps the light switch and the lights come on, and then everybody's like cockroaches, you know, like oh no. And then, you know, some guy realizes that he is dancing with a broomstick, you know, like he's like, oh, here I was telling you, you're the love of my life. And you know, like all the sorts of craziness is exposed because the light comes on. The Lord is our light. And what's gracious about this is when he talks about light here, he's the same psalmist who writes in Psalm 119, 105 that his word is a lamp to our feet. He doesn't shove it in our eyes. He puts it in front of us to help us to walk. And though the periphery of the light does expose that which is not of him, because light does show us our imperfections. Everybody looks like Mr. Olympia and a supermodel when it's dark. Did you notice that? You can turn the lights off and imagine yourself like I am Dwayne The Rock Johnson when the lights are off. And when the lights are on, oh, I need prayer. Well, I don't. But you can pray for me. Anyway, but like the light exposes the reality of our situation. And so in the exposure of our light, of the light of God, we also find his salvation. Whom shall we fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? You got nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear. Anytime that fear or anxiety rises up in your heart to try and cripple you, recognize that's not God. And immediately submit yourself under his kingship, under his rulership, and say, that's not my God. So I'm going to dwell in the shelter of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, because my daddy says no. So see ya. Verse 2, when evildoers assail me, when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries, my foes, adversaries or enemies, my foes, it is they who stumble and fall. So when you're under the kingship of God, God's going to take control of the situations that come up against you. Have any of you been in a situation where you've been gossiped about, where you've been talked about? God is the God who shuts the mouths of the lions. Vengeance is his. You just need to continue to walk forward. Haters going to hate, said the theologian Taylor Swift, right? But I'm just going to shake it off in the name of Jesus. Verse 3, though an enemy encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Turn to somebody and say, don't fear. Though war rise against me, I will be confident. When Jesus is the king of your life, there's nothing to fear. Absolutely nothing to fear. If you walked into this building today, the presence of God is here. You have nothing to fear. Let that fear dissipate in the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid. He's got you. Daddy's got you. It's not like, oh, I'm not sure if I can pay for that bill. He's like, psh, is that all? I loved how Pastor Carol Gossman put it when she prophesied over our movement. She said, at this time, God is calling the church to be a safe haven, a place of refuge to speak what? Confidently, the eternal truth. This is the safe haven for those who are broken to come in, that they be healed and empowered to go out. Let's move on. One thing for all the ladies in here. This is how you can tell a man wrote this. Because he says one thing and then he says three things. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after. Notice the psalmist David is writing this. He hasn't found it yet. He's still looking for it, even though he's probably the most prevalent worshiper we find in the Old Testament. He's never arrived. When it comes to worship, you never arrive. You keep wanting to go deeper and deeper and deeper. If you ever arrive, that means your God is finite and he's too small. But he understands, man, I'm still pursuing it. I'm still seeking after it. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to remain in the house of the Lord, not just visit. Okay? A lot of Christians are just visitors. They don't learn to live in the presence of God. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Gaze, not glimpse, gaze upon his beauty. Like stare at it intently and inquire in his temple to bring your heart of anxiety into the presence of God. Verse 5, for he will hide me in the shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent, and he will lift me high upon a rock. There is nothing else that can satisfy you like King Jesus. So under his kingship, you don't have any other desires for anything else because he satisfies your soul. What does your soul crave? Because I'll tell you every time, it may satisfy you momentarily, but you'll never be satisfied unless you find that satisfaction in King Jesus. He goes on, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Notice there's good singing and then there's cries. Be gracious to me and answer me. What he's saying is that there's no one else that satisfies, and there's also no one else who saves you. For those of you like who expected, well, when I get married, it's all going to be fine because my spouse will be my savior, only to get about 6 months into your marriage and realize, oh, not really. Because every human makes a terrible God. But if your marriage is centered on Christ, or your singlehood is centered on Christ, where you are satisfied in him, then you bring two whole people who are made whole by the grace of God together, centered again through prayer and that relationship with God on Jesus who satisfies and saves. All right, let's move. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries for false witnesses. Man, for the Filipinos in here, there's a lot of chismes about David. During this time, a lot of Psalm 1's in here, Faikakala, a lot of talk, a lot of gossip going on at this time. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, he understands, David understands, you know what? I'm under the kingship of God, the Father, and that means I won't just see his goodness in the land of heaven, but I'll see it here on earth in the land of the living because I trust there's no other way to live. He is the only way to live. So in saying this, right, as we're landing on this point, we need to ask the question, whose kingdom obviously rules in your life? This is where I'm landing this message. I hope you're catching this question. Whose kingdom obviously rules in your life? And you may say, oh, look, Pastor Nelly, it's Jesus. His kingdom rules in my life. Well, there's every day, at every moment. Is it evident? See, because if he's really the king of your life, it needs to be seen by others, obviously. And it's more than just a fish sticker on your car. It's more than just Christian t-shirts that you might wear. It's more than just like the little Christian sayings. But like, is it obvious in your generosity? There's a lot of angry Christians saying you need to change your behavior. And they're just not generous at all. Is it evident in your hospitality, the way you welcome people into the space that you're in? Is it evident in your compassion towards others? Is it evident in your hopefulness? Like when you walk in the room, do you bring about the scent of hopelessness or hopefulness? What's the scent that you bring into the room when you come in? Is it the sort of scent that's like, oh no, they're here, ooh. Or is it fragrant worship that you bring every time you walk into the room? Is it evident in your encouragement? Like, again, when you walk into the room, do people come around you because they love to be encouraged by you? Or are you the one who carries? You remember there's that character on the Peanuts comics, right? The Charlie Brown comics, there's the character that's always like walking and there's dust all around them all the time. Any of you remember that? Are you one of those people like in the spirit that's kind of dusty when you walk in, right? In your faith, in your holiness, in your love for one another, is it evident? I wanted to just close by just showing you this video of Pastor Brett Fuller, just a snippet of his message, because I really believe that if we are to be seen as a kingdom people outside of the four walls of the church, carrying his power and his glory, the phrase that he said, and I want you to catch this, and not in this video, but one of the phrases that he said was that in order to be a reconciling people, we need to be a reconciled people. That they will know our Jesus by the way we walk in love for one another. Go ahead and roll that video.
I'm saying I've built something with the grace of God that allows me to know what it looks like to construct, not just to think. I live this thing. Reconciliation is that which needs to be lived, not just preached. And it ought to be manifest in a certain way that everybody can see it, not just with window dressing, saying that I have a bunch of people of different backgrounds and ethnicities in my church, but you actually talk about issues and you deal with stuff so that there can be a depth of relationship.
How deep is your love? I know that's a BG song, but how deep is your love for one another? Like as we walk as the community of Christ, we cannot be consumerist Christians where we just come in, get tickled, our ears encouraged, then we move on. Like we need to walk as the remnant, as the community, as the body of Christ. And even for those of you watching online, I really want to encourage you, let's walk together, because it's in our love for one another that people will see that we are obviously walking under his kingship, his power, and his glory. I'm going to put this question on the screen right now. And for those of you who are watching online, I want you to meditate and think about this question. Who rules in your life? And is it obvious to those around you, to others around you? And that's something we can pray and discuss with those whom we're seated with right now. Let's go ahead and do that.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.